Okay.
The beginning of Simchat Tzad Dalet,
Shulchan Aruch tells us,
HaTokev Kav Choleves Begdir Shal Basar, O Ipcha, Misharin V'chol Mashenitchav Mimenu Begdira. If you stick milk spoon in a fleishik pot or vice versa, or rather a milk spoon in a pot of meat or a fleishik spoon in a pot of milk, how are you, how you need 60 times to get the spoon to be matur the tafshel, right? If the spoon is less than a 60th, then everything's matur, because whatever tastes in the spoon is matur v'shishim. How do you measure? You only have to measure the part of the spoon that you stuck in. And by wooden spoons and plastic spoons, this is a davar pashut, right? It's not even controversial, like in the second half of the Mechaber. That's obvious. That you only measure the part of the spoon that was stuck in. Im hakach ben yomo, da'yu shimish bo b'kli rishon tof me'is le'is. The Ramah adds here an obvious point, meaning it's only a problem if the spoon was ben yomo. So if the spoon wasn't ben yomo, then you don't need to be mevatel it at all, because whatever tam comes out of the spoon is a tam lifgam. As the Shach points out, only if you used it for milk within me'is le'is, because as we'll learn a little later, using it for water doesn't restart the clock. Okay. How do you exactly measure this spoon? How do you know what part of it you stuck into the kedera? So sometimes you can know, right? A good way to know is if it's still wet in the kedera, then the part that's wet is the part you stuck into the kedera. The part that's dry is the part you didn't stick into the kedera. But if you're lucky and part of it is wet, part of it is dry, you're okay. But if you want to get it all wet, or you dried it all, then how do you know which part you stuck into the kedera? So the Shach says it's the part that is the derech to stick into the part that is the derech to stick into the kedera. He brings that down from the Marshal. Now, what exactly is that? For them, it was only the round part at the end, not the handle. That's not a halacha l'shem Sinai. I think nowadays that's not true anymore. Nowadays we stick part of the handle also into the kedera. Whatever, you have to know what the derech is to stick into the kedera. It means obviously there's some portion at the beginning where you hold it with your hand that it's not the derech to stick into the kedera. But I think nowadays with a lot of our things, you know, it's the derech to stick it all except for where you put your hand into the kedera. So I'm not sure this would be such a useful kula. So how do you know how much you suck into the kedera? So the Pisrei Tshuva here in Sefrat Aleph brings out a big machlokas between the No, the Behuda, and the I guess the Prima Gadin of the Fakbek on this, and he himself questions that, is what if you say you remember how much you stuck into the kedera? And this is based on an important principle. We saw this principle earlier in Hilchos Shechita. This is a big principle, right? The guy learns Hilchos Shechita and then says, now I know that I did a good Shechita. It's no good, because Milsad L'Ramuli D'Inshi, Lava Daite, there's a halach principle, right? Anything that someone doesn't know is important, we don't trust their memory about, because they didn't pay proper attention to. Right? Everyone knows this. You ever do these in the magazines, these puzzle books? It's like a scene. You have to look at the scene and then answer questions about it. And everyone gets all the questions wrong. Why? Because you didn't think it was important, so you didn't pay attention to it. So that's the halachic principle here. So if you knew something was halachically important, then of course we trust you. Eidach and Emun Bisur. If you had no idea it was halachically relevant, of course we don't trust you. Milsud Loram Yalila and Shilava Daiti. What's the machlokas here? Here we have a case that's somewhat in the middle. Because on the one hand, you obviously don't know you're putting a milk spoon into meat or a fleshy spoon into milk. You could never have done that on purpose. So you don't know that it's important how much the spoon you stuck in. On the other hand, you do know in general that in Hilchos Kashrus, sometimes it makes a difference how much the spoon you stick in. So you have some sort of general awareness of importance, but you don't have a specific awareness of the importance. Like, you know, there are shilas that come up, and sometimes when shilas come up, the rabbi asks how much the spoon was stuck into the pot. But you don't know that the shayla is going to come up here. You're doing this by accident. So the node behuda is makel here, because you do know, at least in general, that this is a halachic inyan. And the Pesach Yitzchum and the Prima Gadim are mefakbek and are not so sure there's room to be makel here. So halach lemais, it's a little unclear. You have to look at the other tzadim. What if someone says, I remember clearly that I only stuck in up to here on this book? Do you trust that memory? Or do you not trust that memory? Is a machlokas here in the Piskei Tshuva, and is halacha lemaisa is unclear. It might depend on the other factors and the nature of the case. The other big issue we have here is, in terms of how to measure the spoon, is the kreisi uplasi brought down. We mentioned this once earlier. At the end of the first Piskei Tshuva, it says, is it mashe nitchav mimenu bikdeira? Does bikdeira mean in the food? Right, or does bikdeira mean in the pot? If here's your pot, and up to here is your food, do you need to measure, you only need 60 times this, or do you need 60 times this? And this is the also a machlokas here between the Kreisi Uplasi, and he brings down here that the Tchassam Sofer disagrees with him, and the Chavos Das is a little unclear how to paskin. Lemaisa is unclear. So the Kreisi Uplasi says, since the strong hevel in the kedera, it takes the tam out of everything that was stuck into the airspace of the kedera. So the very, very strong steam inside the kedera, he says, up to here there's very strong steam, and that steam takes the tam out of even this part, according to the Kreisi Uplasi. The Chassam Sofer disagrees. The Chassam Sofer says, no, the tam only comes out of the part that's actually in the food, not the part that's just stam inside the walls, the airspace of the kedera.
Even if it's in the airspace of the walls, why does it just keep going up?
Well, this goes back to our discussions whether Zeya brings something out of something and back down to its source, and whether maybe inside these walls is stronger than your average Zeya, perhaps. So it really comes down to the same issue.
If it is stronger than the average Zeya, it can be brought out. It'll still keep going up, and it won't come back.
Unless you say it's considered a chibur, which was the unless you say it's considered a chibur, which seemed to be the sheet of the dogma of Baba that we saw in some tiny days. So okay, it comes down to the same machlokas.
For us, even if we see that there is a strong hevel, are we going to measure it to the
top? Halacha for us, it's. It's again, it's the machlokas here between the Kreisi Uplasi and the Chassam Sofer. And the Chassam Sofer claims a Bali Hora or Mekel in this. Okay, the Chassam Sofer claims Bali Hora or Mekel is worth something. But it's lo kalkach pashut. Might also depend on if you have other tzadim lohakel or... Right, usually that's not the case, Lemaisa. Usually you're not going to be so exact that, that little amount will make a difference. So usually it might not have an afkamina, but it's a very interesting machlokas. So aloch Lemaisa, in terms of how to measure what part of the spoon you put into the kedera, so we have the machlokas, Kreisi Uplasi and Chassam Sofer. Do you need only what was in the food, or even whatever's in the airspace gives its time through the hevel into the food? And then, if you don't know how much you stuck in, you have the shach, says you can go by the derech, which nowadays is not so clear what that is, even though these days it was. And you have the machlokas between the Nodeb Yehud and the Piskei Tshuva as to whether we trust your memory on this. The continuation of the Mechaber, V'yesh Misha Omer, Sheim hakaf shal mateches misharim bekulo mishum dechamik tzasu cham kulos for rishon ikar vechein. Again, this machlokes even been in Peretz, and the other rishonim Rabbeinu Peretz says that for a metal spoon this is all irrelevant, because for metal in principle chamik tzasu cham kulo, metal conducts heat. So if you stick part of the spoon into your tavshil, it all gets hot. That's definitely true. Everyone agrees that chamik tzasu cham kulo. I think. I mean, it's a little hard to deny that. So everyone agrees the whole metal spoon gets hot. That's why generally we don't stir our pots with metal spoons. Well, some of them do. A lot of them have plastic or wooden handles, so you don't burn your hand. But chamik tzaso cham kulo. So Rabbeinu Peretz says, if chamik tzaso cham kulo, then the blias of the whole spoon go into the, because it's all hot, so the blias of the whole spoon travel down and go into your top shell. So you need to measure shishim connected to the whole spoon. We, however, don't paskin like that. We say, even though it's all hot, all of the bleos don't go into your soup, and you only need shishim keneged. We totally reject the peretz. Even if it's metal and it's all hot, you only need shishim keneged, the part that's in your food. Let's say, like the samso, for the part that's in your food, not keneged, the whole spoon. So then the question becomes, why is this actually? So if kamek tzasel kam kulo, if it's all hot, then why doesn't the tam of the whole spoon go into your food? Yeah, it's a milchik spoon in chicken soup. Why doesn't the tam of the whole spoon go into your chicken soup? If it's all hot, shouldn't the tam travel through the spoon? So this is not so clear. There seem to be different. People don't tackle this in quite so many words, right? You learn the mefarshim here, and no one bothers to explain this. But here and there, you know, if you look in the Prima Gadim here, he seems to have an approach, and I think you can develop two basic approaches as to why we reject Rabbeinu Peretz. Because Rabbeinu Peretz seems to make sense. You have a hot spoon, the whole thing's hot, so the tam should travel through the whole thing and go into your chicken soup. So why do we say it doesn't? Especially since, what did we say about a tipa that falls on a kadebra, whether it's kinegata rota or shalok kinegata rota, it does travel, right? So why doesn't tam travel through the spoon? And we'll see later on at the very end, the second class halacha in all of Hilchas Basa B'chalav. Welcome, Meshav Abanan L'Gvulam. We'll see that, like, if some trace spills in your oven, that tam will travel through the whole, let's say, here's my oven, right? And someone's putting trace here, and it spills, and I'm putting kosher here. The tam will go through. Even if the puddle doesn't travel, obviously if the puddle traveled, it would trace my food. The tam will go through the oven and trace up my food. That's a shock and a task. At the very end, like the second to last ones in Hilchos Basa B'chalav or something like that, third to last. So why doesn't the tam travel through the spoon? So there seem to be two different approaches. The pre-Megadim, here and a few other places seems to say that there's a difference between Cham Mamish and Cham Mitzaso Cham Kulo. Meaning metal is Cham Mitzaso Cham Kulo in a Chanam. In a Chanam, metal is Cham Mitzaso Cham Kulo. But Cham Mitzaso Cham Kulo is not an original Chom. It's a secondary Chom. It's not like if you have an oven with a fire in it or a pot on a fire. Here, there's a primary Chom on the bottom of the spoon and a secondary Chom on the top of the spoon. Will make it all hot, but a secondary foam of Kamek Tzasso Kam Kulo is not hot enough to make the bleos travel through the whole spoon. To make bleos go from one end of a kli to the other end of the kli, you need to have a primary heat, an original heat. A secondary heat is not enough to cause the bleos to travel up and down the spoon. That seems to be the opinion of the Prima Gadim. That which is really based on a shach. It's really based on a shach, which the shach even goes further, but at the very least in this case. So a secondary heat is not enough to get it to travel through the whole thing. The Magen Avraham in Hilchas Pesach, Simon, I think, Tuf Nun Aleph, seems to have a different approach, and he says that the bleos can, let's see, 1 second, okay. So, this would fit in with the shita of the shach, let's say. This would seem to fit in with the shita of the shach. The shach in Simen Kuf Yud Ches says, let's say I do, you know, let's say here it's treif, and I do stick in my kosher spoon. How much my spoon becomes treif? Only what I stuck in. Let's say it's meat I stick in a milk spoon, only what I stuck in. Bleos only travel the part I stuck in. They don't travel to the rest of the, only what I stick in. The Magen Avraham has a slightly different approach. The Magen Avraham says no. Really, if I stick my spoon into this treif pot, if I stick a milk spoon to a flation pot, the bleos will travel up the whole spoon. The bleos will go in to be nivla, it'll go in the whole thing. Why? Because it's coming from actual food. it can get through the whole thing. But the niflots come out of the spoon, so the Magen Avraham says in, it will go all the way. But out will only go out from here. It can't go out from the top of the spoon. And I think the logic of the Magen Avraham is that when you're starting with actual food, like rotev, that can go penetrate through the whole spoon. And that's the drop that falls in the pot and go wherever it wants. Possibly. We have no idea. But the top of the spoon, which is very dry, and there's no actual source of food there, to get those bleus start coming down the spoon, that you can't do unless it's actually stuck in food, unless it's stuck in a food or some rotev. The bleus don't come out of the top of the spoon. So the Magen Avraham assumes that there's the one way. Unlike the Rimgad, who says that this Hametzos or Hamkulo is not enough to make the bleus travel, Magen Avraham says, as soon as the bleus will go in, they just won't come out. Yes? Whatever happened to Kibolo Kach Polto? Kibolo Kach Polto refers to kashering. Does not refer to... Whatever happened to Kibolo Kach Polto? It's funny because the unless she's not applying to here, the Beis Hillel, what does the Beis Hillel say, right? This is what we're quoting from the Beis Hillel, quotes this, right? Pesachet Shavu Gimel. I'm Ber Heitev Hashem Arav Ma'ar Ritzal. Shekaz Hashem Beis Hillel. Afgav Dacham Tzos Ocham Kul. Lohainu Levlo. Ava Lo Liflo. The Eino Polet Elo Mashen Nitcha V'mena B'kdeva. Right, so that's the Nafkaminim. Talk about Katzos Al Kafshal Matachos Ben Yomo B'kdeva. It's Arshish Shavu Gimel. Neged Akatzos Nitcha V'ad Kan Lashom. Hini Beis Hillel Kasher Shem Kain Baal Magen Avraham. Over Emes Kain Nuk Magen Avraham Baruch Chaim Sim Tov Nalaf Sukat Nuchav Dalet. Okay, that's a shotgun, low near a cane, el diamlin lovlow alomrin and kam kulo de inomolok bliosubakulo. And that's the Prima Garden based on that, as I pointed out, the shotgun, the comments in Kufkaf Aleph, Sifkot and Yud Zion. And he quotes that also from the Solash and Mincha. What does the Magen Avraham do with the principle of Kibolo Kach Polto? Which he actually does apply to this case in Or Chaim. The simple way to answer is that Kibolo Kach Polto just refers to levels of heat, not areas of kli. But I'm not 100% sure, because he does actually seem to apply to Kibolo Kach Polto to this case, B'dieved, in Shulchan Aruch Or Chaim, so I'm not sure. I'll have to say that needs a little more Ian. But the Pesachet Shavu here tells us, the Maisa is, there are two ways to understand what goes on here. Either Kamitzos or Kamkulo is just not enough to make the Blias go through the Kli, because it's not a real Kli will make the Blias go through a Kli, but a Kamitzos or Kamkulo won't, or the Magen Avraham, if you stick a Kli partially in something, If Kli is only partially stuck into something, then the bleos will travel in through the whole Kli, because the food has the power to go through the whole Kli. But the bleos absorbed in the Kli don't have the power to come out unless they're actually in food. Food gives it power to actually mit pashet, it has mamashut to it. Bleos inside of Kli can't come out unless that part of the Kli is near food. Without rotev. So it could be, I think he is basically based on this Magen Avraham, I think he might have meant only to spread to be niflot for the Kli, not to be niflot for the Kli. I think that's actually the best way to read it, if you go back and look at it. Well, I'm not 100% sure. But I think Rabbi Akiva Eiger, earlier in, even though here in Or Chaim, it's not so clear, it seems to agree with the Magen Avraham, earlier in where was that? In Siman Tzadi Beis, right. So, Halach l'maisa, there is some sort of nafkamina to this. What's the nafkamina? Who cares if l'maisa, everyone agrees, that chametzos or chamkulo will not make the bleus come out of the top of the spoon, you only need shishim to make it the bottom of the spoon. So what's the nachmina between the shach and the magen avraham here? So the Pesachei Tshuva explains here that the nafkamina is, according to the Shach, nothing happened to the top of the spoon. Not only didn't the top of the spoon answer the soup didn't answer the top of the spoon. According to Magen Avraham, the soup did answer the top of the spoon. Because according to Magen Avraham, it goes one way. According to the Shach, it doesn't go at all. So according to the Shach, this spoon, the bottom of the spoon is treif, and the top of the spoon is kosher. According to Magen Avraham, the whole spoon is treif. The whole spoon is treif. This comes up, it gets a little more complicated. This is the Shiloh Lagabi Kashrut. Do you have to kasher the whole spoon or not? So halacha l'maisa, everyone agrees. Don't get me wrong here. Halacha l'maisa, what's the halacha? If part of the spoon got treif, or part of anything got treif, l'chachim, you have to kasher it all. B'di'eved, if you kasher the part that got treif and then used it, it's okay. I mean, you still have to kasher the whole thing. It doesn't treif up your food, b'di'eved, as long as you kasher the part that was affected. So not necessarily, because lichachilu, we say you have to kasher the whole kli, meaning against the shach. Bidyeved, we say if, you know, here's your spoon. Well, you see, this is the difference between the shach and the, this is the difference between the shach and the magen avraham. The shach says that, let's say red is the color of iser, only this much is usher, right? So lichachilu we kasher the whole kli, because the lichachilu we're machmir. Bidyeved, if you kasher this part, if you dip it into boiling water up to here, it's all kosher. Meaning, what in bidyeved it's all kosher. You still have to kasher the kli. But if you touch food with it, then we consider it to be all bidyeved. If you kasher this part and use it with food, it's all kosher. For the Magen Avraham also agrees bidyeved is kosher. It's a mefurish ramah. But the Magen Avraham says a little differently. Because what does the Magen Avraham say? He says if you dip the bottom into of a milk spoon into a tray for chicken soup, it's all treif. But bidyeved, if you kasher this part of the spoon, then what do we assume? That whatever could come out of this part of the spoon came out through agala. So bidyeved, if you kasher this part of the spoon, then this part of the spoon is kosher. But, so bidyeved, if you kasher the bottom of the spoon, if you then stir with the bottom of the spoon, your food would be kosher. But if you put the spoon on the upside down, it would still treif up your food. Because the Magen Avraham says, really, it was nivla throughout. And really, it's not matzah throughout. Right? So, he just says, if you kasher the bottom half of the spoon, so the bottom half of the spoon is now kosher for the evet. But the top half of the spoon still remains treif. So there is an afkumin between the shach and the Magen Avraham. The shach assumes kamak tassu kamkula, whatever's outside, is really me'ikra did not affect it at all, neither the kula nor the chumra. Lechatchila, we kasher it all. But really, me'ikra din, there's no treatment here at all. If you kasher the bottom, it's done. Magen Avraham assumes it's a one-way process, not a two-way process, which means that really the whole spoon becomes treif. But if you kasher the bottom of the spoon, then the bottom of the spoon is kosher. And if you stick the bottom of your spoon, bidyeved, into something, we know it won't be machlif from the top of the spoon because it doesn't go down, it only goes in. It doesn't go out, it only goes in. But the handle would still be treif. The nafkamina is, according to the shach, if you kasher the bottom of the spoon and stuck the handle into your food, you'd be okay. According to the Magen Avraham, if you kasher the bottom of the spoon and stuck the handle into your food, then that would even be the other treif of your food, unless it had shishim to negate the handle. That's the only nafkamina between the Magen Avraham and the shach, as that's the main nafkamina, rather, between the Magen Avraham and the shach, as explained in the Pesachei Tshuva. There are those who hold that even lechatchila you don't have to kasher the whole kli. And there are those who hold that even bidyeved you do. But we paskin halach lemaisa lechatchila we're not going to kasher the kli bidyeved either for the shach's reason. Bidyeved, if you kasher part of the kli, you've gotten rid of everything that's in there. Or for the magen avraham, bidyeved, if you kasher part of the kli, you've at least kasher that part, and nothing can come out of the other part if you don't dip it in, because it doesn't come out unless it's stuck into rotev. It only goes in.
But you don't want to say like Magen Avraham, if you want to say that it can go in, and it can also come out, then you do want to go up a little bit in this way, at least it's come out this way.
Correct. Meaning even Rabbeinu Peretz might be modeh. That is exactly the svara brought up by the Ramah later on in Siman Kuf Chaf Aleph. The Ramah brings up this svara that even according to Rabbeinu Peretz, that who says that it will come out of the whole kli, kibolo kafpolto, and you can kasher it and it'll come out of the whole kli. In a klami, 100%. Okay, so that's basically what we have to say for Sif Aleph. Unless there's any other questions. In Sif Beis, im tochav kapik deir shtei pa'amim, the lo no da bin sayim, tsara shnei pa'amim shishim, according to the Mechaber. We'll start with the Mechaber. So the Mechaber here has a separate problem. Forget about how you measure the how many times you need the kaf. Right? Let's assume whatever it is, the part we pass it, you only go by the part you stuck in. Let's call that 1 ounce. Right? Fluid ounce, of course. So one fluid ounce. What if you stick the kaf in twice? So the Mechaber says that depends if it's no domain time or low no domain time. If you stick it in twice and don't realize that there's a halachic shayla until the second time, so you stick your milchik spoon into your chicken soup twice and then realize it's milchik. Then you need 120 ounces to be involved with it, because it counts as double isser. Why does it count as double isser? What's the logic of this machaber? Why do you need shnei pa'amim shishim? What? Because the first time, the spoon gave 1 ounce of milk taste. Oh, no. The first time the spoon gave 59/60 of an ounce of milk taste into your chocolate. And it, in turn, absorbed 59/60 of meat taste. As soon as you take the spoon, then what happens inside the spoon? Inside the spoon, you have 1/60 milk and 59/60 meat. So then the spoon becomes hanan, and now the spoon has hanan meat taste in it. So if you dip it in again, it gives 1 ounce of hanan meat taste into your food. So that's the logic of the mechaber. If you stick it in once, it gives the milk into your food and becomes filled with meat, which it chanans. If you stick it in again, it puts the chanan meat back into your food, assuming you're cooking flay chicken, it's a milchik spoon.
So why shouldn't
you
just
need
1 shishim?
So even though we said, you're quoting to me from the end of Simon Tzadikhes, that Isur Mevatlin, Zetzeh, right? If you have 1 kazayis chel and 1 kazayis dam, and 59 kazayisim of heter, then it's all mutter. Isur Mevatlin each other. But that's when they're different isurim, we learned. That's only if they're different foods and different isurim. Yeah. But here, they're both the same. They're both basar b'chalav. The chalav and meat is basar b'chalav, and the chanand meat and meat is basar b'chalav. So since they're both part of basar b'chalav, they're mitzarif, and you need 120 ounces, actually 119 ounces, to be mevatel them.
Isn't that chalav judged against the basar b'chalav and basar b'chalav? It's not basar b'chalav, it's chalav.
Yeah, chalav and basar b'chalav. No, for sure you're not going to taste the ta'am. That's clear. But since they're both within the realm of... So we said that was only Xer Drabbanan at the time. Right? Still, be Drabbanan, since they're both within the same realm of Isser, they're mitzarif to Asur Yerkadera. Meaning it's a davar pasha that if I would actually pour an ounce of milk and an ounce of chanan basar b'chalav meat into my cholent, I would need 120 mivato. Let's assume that those are mitzari, even though logically we're not sure why they should be, but midrabbanan, since they're both bas b'cholav, they're considered the same isser, and there goes that they're mitzari. So, therefore, you need 120. That's the logic of the mechaber. Now, the mechaber could have taken it further. Right, so there are two ways the mechaber could have taken it further. First of all, why didn't he say if you stick it in 3 or 4 times... You need 3 or 4 times the kaf. You know, if you suck it in 5 times, why don't you need 300? If you suck it in 10 times, why don't you need 600? So the Shach assumes that he meant davka twice, right? That's in Sifkatan Dalid. The Shach assumes that you need only twice and not 3 or 4 times. His svara is very, very unclear. What's a svara? Why don't you need a third time when you stick it in a third time? Because once it's basar b'chalav, exactly. Once it's basar b'chalav, it's... You're absolutely right. Of course, you put it very confusing way. What are you worried? First you have, what's in the spoon?
The initial contact...
The first time is 1 ounce milk. And then you have 1/60 creates a chanan, and then you have 1 ounce of chanan meat. Now, what's going to happen? The next time? Now, here it's a little unclear exactly what the Shach is trying to say, but the Shach assumes that what's going on here? By now, everything in the spoon is already treif. So that's not going to create a Hanan, or even the Machaber, and something else, because if now you have, well, still not 100% clear, but let's take one way of reading the Shach. If now you say like 1/60 of this becomes left and creates a Hanan, no, it won't. 1/60th of, you know, bas v'chol that was already chananed, now it's not creating new bas v'chola, it's just bas v'chol of asr and basr. Now it's not chol of asr and basr. It's bas v'chol of asr and basr. Bas v'chol of asr and basr is just like shar serv, it's just an isr. The only, because this machaber holds like meat and frying, there's only chananed bas v'chol. Why? What the magic of bas v'chol? Meat and milk together create a new isr. But basr v'chol and meat together don't create a new isr. That's just a regular old-fashioned tom kicker. The basar b'chalav infects the kosher meat. It's like nevela meat, right? Kanan means like nevela now. So it's not milk and it's not milk asr meat anymore. Now it's basar b'chalav asr meat. Now this is still a little controversial. Like, why can't you say some milk was left in this meat? That's the Achronim Ardan. We won't go into it. But he assumes now there's no kanan because it's just like shari surim. This is what the Shach pointed out a few times, even though Machaber actually himself doesn't hold this, which is tricky, that Cholov plus Basar is Hanan according to Rabbeinu Ephraim. Basar with Cholov plus Basar is not Hanan, because that's not the magic of two hechers coming together making it a new Cholov's Isser. That's just regular old-fashioned Tomke Iker, mixtures of treif and kosher. So that's how he explains why you only need two and not three or four. Now, of course, the other way in which the Machaber could have been more Machaber, so the Machaber says you need 20, so you need 120 times the spoon. He doesn't say 180 or 240. Why? Because by the next time around, there's no Hanan according to Rabbeinu Ephraim. Of course, the other way could have been more Machaber, so he could have been Machaber even on no data robes, right? He's only Machaber in low no data robes, but in no data robes, he's Makel. Why is he Makel in no data robes? Because of the principle of. Because the opposite. Why is he Mekel in no data robes? Because Kama Kama Bata. Right, so if Mo no data robes, then you can't have Bittle yet. If you don't know, you can't say Bittle. But if no data robes, you stick it in once and then you realize. Then you're right, I don't know, you have Alzheimer's, so you stick it in once. And then you realize it was a milk spoon. But nonetheless, you forget and stick it in again. And then you realize again. So it was no data robes in the middle, so each episode is separate. You say first it was Bottle in 60. And then the spirit of the night was bottle in 60. Principle of Kama Kama Bottle, right? You can keep putting Isser in as long as you put in little by little. Each little piece will be bottle, as long as you know each stage. And it never is Mitzari. So, of course, the problem with that is that we don't hold Kama Kama Bottle. We hold Choser Renator, right? We hold Choser Renator. We passed it earlier. So what's going on here in Simon Tzadi Tess, right? We passed in Choser Renator. So why all of a sudden here are we holding Kama Kama Bottle? So the Shach explains, only here we hold Kama Kama Bottle. Why? Because, what's the reason we hold Choser V'Neir? The only logical place, where's the only place where it's logical to hold Choser V'Neir? Mivshein Omino. Why? Because if I put a little pork in my orange juice, and a little more, and a little more, I can't say Kama Kama Bottle. Eventually I'll taste it. So really it's only me, the Oraisa, to say Kama Kama Bottle by Mivshein Omino. But Midrabana,
we
say Choser V'Neir, Mida Oraisa. Right? If I put pork in my vegetable soup, more pork in my vegetable soup, more pork, more lard in my vegetable soup, more lard in my vegetable soup, even though each time it was only a 70th or a 60th, eventually it'll taste like lard. So of course it has to be Choser V'Neir. I mean, otherwise it's ridiculous, otherwise you'll end up eating lard. So, how about Min B'Mino? Min B'Mino, we only say Choser V'Neir, Midrabana. Mido Raisa, we don't say Choser V'Neir and Min B'Mino. Why should we say Choser V'Neir? It keeps disappearing. We only say Choser V'Neir and Midrabana. Gzeira Atu Min B'She'ino Mino. So what does the Machaber say? He said, if you know in between, you are correct, say Kam Kam Bata. Normally, we say Choser V'Neir and don't say Kama Kama Bottle. Gzeira Atu Min B'She'ino Mino. But there's one case where you can't say Gzeira Atu Min B'She'ino Mino, because there's one type of Min B'Mino which can never be confused or lead to a case of Min B'She'ino Mino. And what is that?
repeated dippings of the spoon. Because what's this? This unique idea that if you dip the spoon twice, it becomes two spoons. Or three or four, you know, that if you dip the spoon more than once, it becomes more than one spoon, it becomes two spoons. What's the only way the spoon becomes two spoons? Because it first has what it has originally, and then it gets filled with what was in the pot. So by definition, it can only happen in Min-Bimino. The second time can only be Min-Bimino, because the only new thing that can become Tanand is what starts out in the pot. There's no way you can dip it in twice and have two Mimish Enominos. Because if you dip it in once, it's filled with milk. When you dip it in again, where is it going to get more milk from? All it can have is the chicken soup, or whatever the example would be. So since this is the case that can never be confused with or lead to Mimish Enomino, the Chazal Zera didn't apply. So therefore, normally there goes there Chozer Neir on Mimish Enomino, but in a case which can never, normally there Chozer Neir Neir on Mimimino, but in a case which can never lead to Mimish Enomino, they were not Gozer Chozer Neir. And that's the principle here. No, because the Gro goes a step further. I'll point that in a second. So this is the Mechaber. Let's just review the Mechaber for a second. The Mechaber says the third time you can't have any Tanan in front of the Mechaber. But between the first and second times, you'll have Tanan. So if you dip it in twice, you'll need 120 against 1 ounce of milk and 1 ounce of Tanan's meat. But if you know in the middle, then you don't need twice, because each one is bottled as a separate episode, and they never, Chozer Neir goes back and reawakens and mitzvah. Why doesn't it Chozer Neir? Because the only reason you have Chozer, the second time is Min Bimino. The only reason you have Chozer Neir and Min Bimino is Gzeira Atum Min Mishay Nomino. And here it's not Shayach to have that Gzeira, because you can never dip it in the second time, and it would be Min Mishay Nomino. So therefore, they weren't Gozer Chozer Neir and Min Bimino. What does the Ramah say here? The Ramah says, V'yeshom decide yuham achas sheshem chay nogin. We Ashkenazim, we ignore this whole thing. We say you always only need 60 against the spoon. Doesn't matter how many times you dipped it in. We are Mato Lagamre. So why are we Mato Lagamre? So here there are different explanations. So why do we say if you dip it in twice, what's our kula? Even if you don't know in the middle, right? Even if you can't use Tano Gamre bottle, it's automatically mutter if you dip it in twice. It's always mutter. You never need to ask the Shailach, us Ashkenazim. You don't even need the Sif and Shulchan Aruch. Someone dips a spoon in, you need 60, can I get the spoon? You don't even have to ask how many times they dipped or what the circumstances were. Did they realize in the middle, didn't they? It's always mutter. Why? So the Ramaz actually quotes here, Trumas Adesh and Simon Kuf Be Gimel, Vahagor Sharadura, Vahagos Sharadura, Vesubahatar Ara, and Trumas Adesh. Trumas Adesh has a different Svara. But the Gra, Josh remembers correctly, back in Simon Sadiqes, gives the more mainstream svara for this Ramah. Not the svara that Trumas Adesh, but what's the Gra svara? The Gra just says, take the Mechaber one step further. What did the Mechaber say? The Mechaber said, there's no chos of a neir double dipping, because there's no need for Xeira to Mimishay no Mino. So what can you just say one step further? Forget about chos of a neir. What else is Xeira? No, Tanan is. The first Tanan is meat and milk, that's all right. Shisha is a Xeira, right? What's the real din? Mimishay no Mino is 60 Nidoraisa. Min Bimino is 60 Nidrabanan. Why? Xeira Atu Min Bishay No Mino. Right now, like the Rambam never votes me, you tell the mainstream. It's Xeira Atu Min Bishay No Mino. So he just takes the Machaber said, Choser Veneir of Min Bimino is only Xeira, and the Xeira is not shy of here. Josh correctly remembered the Grunts of Inside Ephes when explaining the Ramah. The Ramah just says, why not go all the way? Forget about Choser Veneir. That's small potatoes. The whole idea of 60, the whole idea of Shishim is only Xeira Atum Min Bishay No Mino. Why do you need Shishim? Only Xeira Atum Min Bishay No Mino. But that Xeira is not Shayach here. So unlike Mechaber who says, the Xeira is not Shayach here, so you can use Kama Bottle. Mechaber says, forget about that Xeira Choser Veneir. The whole Xeira Shishim is not Shayach here, so you can use Rove to Mimavato this spoon. Why? Because again, the second time you dip the spoon, it's Min Bimino. It's just Hanan chicken soup going back in your chicken soup, or Hanan vegetables going back in your vegetables, or whatever the case may be. And that can only be min bimino, because the only way to refill the spoon a second time is with what's in the pot. And then you're sticking it back in the pot. So since there can never be a case of min b'sheino mino by dipping the spoon multiple times, Chazal weren't even, not only weren't they gozer kosher nir, they weren't even gozer shishim in the first place. They just left it on the din d'oraisa of rov, and therefore you could use bittel b'rov, and that's why you don't need 120 times the spoon. You need 60 times the spoon for the first time when it was milk and meat. And you don't need anything because you have rov to dig at the spoon the second time. That's the way the Gra explains the svara of the Ramah. Now the Chumash Hadeshet had a very different svara. You need shishim because the first time it was a spoonful of milk into meat.
Oh.
That was mamish b'mishenu mino. The first time was mamish b'mishenu mino, so you need shishim. Right, the Ramah here, the Chumash Hadeshet is quoting something else. The Chumash Hadeshet here is explains the Ramah based on a sveik sveika. What's a sveik sveika? Maybe there is no Kanan inside a Kli, right? Remember we saw Machlokas, the Ramban held there's no Kanan in Blias inside a Kli. A, maybe there's no Kanan inside a Kli. And B, maybe it's a cliche. Why? Remember the ladle issue. Once you take the spoon out of the pot, maybe it can't make anything Kanan because once you withdraw it from the pot, it's a cliche. So the truth is that that's fake sake of. When you put the spoon in the pot, then there's no Kanan. Then just the milk is going out and the meat is going in. When you pour it, take the spoon out of the pot, maybe it's a cliche, and even if it's a cliche, maybe you can't have any kanan inside the spoon. Therefore, there's no kanan in the spoon. So that's the svara of the Chumash Hadeshet, and that sveik sveika tells you there's no kanan in the spoon, and that's why you don't need 120. But...
Is that what the
Shach
is saying?
Yeah, the Shach first quotes. What is the Shach saying? The Harbi Poskis relates, Kill comments inside a chesed hay, because A, maybe there is no chanan inside a spoon. The kachos of Shumas Adesh and Kofay Gimel, some chin and high time, but the Afghan the Kamel Hansen and Kofar, oh, we're not so mech on the Ramban. Mikomaka mechi agave in lahachmir. But in this case, we're not machmir. Why in this case are we not machmir? In this case, we're not machmir, the Shumas Adesh says, we look it up inside, because there's another tzad lahakel. While the spoon is in the pot, it can't become chanan, because the chalav is batel b'shishim in the pot. Once you take the spoon out of the pot, maybe it's considered a cliche, because maybe the ladle withdrawn from the pot is considered a cliche. So therefore, that's the other tzad lahakel, since the spoon, once you take it out of the pot, might be cliche anyway, therefore we can rely on, maybe it's a cliche, and maybe it can't have, even if it's a cliche, there can be no chanan in the spoon, and therefore we're making, well, there's no chanan in the spoon. That's the svara of the Chumash Hadeshet. However, as the Shach points out, this is quoting some inside of Chesva, even if it's food and not a spoon, we actually hold that you only need one time shishim. And that's because, as the Gra pointed out there, he doesn't repeat it here, we hold an even better svar in the Chumash Hadeshet. The Chumash Hadeshet just wants to say, sveik sveika, there is no kanan in the spoon. Because maybe it's a klishani once you take it out of the pot, and even if it's a klishon, maybe you can't have chanans in cable. We say stronger svar, even if there is chanan in the spoon, and even if the spoon is trafe a million times, you never need 120, because the first time it's min b'sheino mino, and the second time it's min b'mino, but since the kind of min b'mino that can never be confused with min b'sheino mino, the whole idea of shishin doesn't apply, as the Gra explained in Siman Sadiches. So that's our Halacha l'maisa, we don't worry about noda lo noda. We are just makel, either for two reasons. Number one, the Chumash Hadeshet and Sveik Sveika says the spoon never becomes chanan. But really, even if the spoon was chanan, you'd be makel, because the Gra svara, that you just don't need shishin the second time, because it's a type of min b'mino that's not shayach to be gozer atum min b'sheino mino. Spardim seemed l'chor hold like the Mechaber. They'd be makel in kind of a bottle if you realized in between. But otherwise, they require 120 times the size of the spoon. Okay. Any other questions on Sif Beis? Okay, Sif Gimel is, well, at least the beginning of it is straightforward. Im Yesh Shishin, like some of these, you know, the Pashut parts of a lot of Sif Gimel, Dalet, etc. are like basic shaylos that you get every day. In Yesh Shishim Levat Lakaf, what if there is 60, right? Until now, we figured out how to measure Shishim. Aleph and Beis told us, how do you measure Shishim, right? There's like a practical guide. A lady calls you, says, I put the wrong spoon into the wrong pot.
So first he asks, was the buffalo Shishim? So how do you measure Shishim? So first we have to know what part of the spoon counts. So we pass it in the end only the part that's in the soup. Now you have to know what if she dipped it in more than once. So we Ashkenaz and Paskin, still you only have to measure the spoon once. So now we know how to measure, right? You actually take the spoon, figure out what, if you can figure out what part was dipped in, and no matter, all you need is 60 times that, no matter how many times it was dipped in. If the soup is 60 times that part of the spoon, then it's okay. How do you measure, by the way, the volume of a spoon? By water displacement.
Or volume part of the spoon?
The volume of the part of the spoon that was dipped in, right, if you know what it is.
Even according to the Ramah, we still run into an issue with. First thing is that she stuck the spoon in there were 60 times the spoon, and then somehow there was less soup the second time. You're still not going to be a row and give you a spoon the second time. But let's say you use the spoon to take out soup the first time, and now there's less in the pot.
You think there's not even going to be a row against the spoon?
I think if you have a small pot of soup, and you usually only take out soup the first time, but even according to the Ramah, it would be 60 then the soup. It's just a lot of soup.
No, but.
I mean, row is even row.
That's a little hard to imagine that there wouldn't be row. Yeah, I mean, I just don't think it's the derech of people to stick spoons into soup where the soup is smaller than the spoon. You know, I don't think you'd actually be able to scoop anything if you did that. That's what I think. So now the question is, what if there was shishim? What if there wasn't shishim? So if there is not shishim, let's say, what's the psak? What if there's not shishim? Not this case. You measure the spoon, and the spoon is more than a 60th of the soup. The soup is not 60 times the spoon. What's the din? What? Ask his ben yom. Okay, good. What if there is 60 times connected the spoon? You measure the spoon is 1 fluid ounce, or 3 fluid ounces. Spoon is 3 fluid ounces, and the soup was exactly 180 fluid ounces. Okay, I don't know if I trust myself to be so exact. The soup is 3 fluid, the spoon is 3 fluid ounces maximum. The soup is 190 fluid ounces minimum. I'm absolutely clear on that. I measured well enough that I have no margin of error. Right? Because remember, if you just don't know how to measure, then you can't use that even for a suffix or a bun. But I measured clearly. The soup is definitely 3 or less. And the soup is 180 or more. So it's batel shishim. So what's the din of the soup? Fine, because it never got a taste from the spoons. What's the din of the pot? Also fine, because the pot never got a taste from the spoon, because whatever taste came out of the spoon was bottled in the soup. What's it in the spoon? The spoon is still trach, right? Because even though there were 60 times connected to the spoon, but that's in one direction, the spoon didn't have 60 times the soup, so the spoon couldn't give its taste to the soup, because it was too small. The soup could easily give its taste to the spoon. So the spoon is trach. That's what he says in Yeshish and Levat Lakaf. Like the Eretav Shem Lutar in the Shulchan Aruch says, V'lakaf asura beinim basar beinim chalav. The spoon is trach both for meat and for milk, and really that means lavdavka, as the Shach points out. It's trach for anything, whether meat or milk, whether meat, milk, or pyrrhic, because this spoon is mamish basar b'cholov. It had a taste of milk, and now it has a taste of meat. That's mamish basar b'cholov, or it had a taste of meat, now it has a taste of milk. So the spoon is mamish chazar trach. Fishy blue and basar b'cholov, v'afilu b'di'evet oserisim chazar tachua b'im basar b'im b'cholov, and no matter what you stick it back into, it'll trafe up that thing, even with the evidence. It's in mamish at the time of trafe in it. Calls manshi bas yoma, as long as it is within the next 24 hours, as long as it is bas yoma. Now, the Shach points out a few interesting things here. Sefches, maybe we won't get into now. It's a little controversial. But the Shach points out, this is a little bit of a machlokas between the Shach and the Bach here. It's not so pasha that it's a toast. Let's say, what's our example? You have a fleshing spoon, now or a milking spoon, right? Milking spoon and chicken soup. Remember, what makes a spoon a milking spoon? Not sure that you call it a milking spoon. It's a milking spoon if it was used for milk within the last 24 hours. Right, Kli Rishon. Right? Kli Rishon milk in the last 24 hours. So, let's take another example. Let's say it wasn't. Well, that's the next one. Let's say it was Ben Yom.
Okay, so at 9 a.m., I use the spoon for milk. Right? Then at 3 p.m., I put the spoon in chicken soup. And the chicken soup is 60 times as big as the spoon, so the soup's okay, the pot's okay, the spoon is treif. Now, this spoon is mamash treif. Look, it has a basar b'chalav in it. Right? So if I then stick my spoon, now I put in meat or milk at 6 p.m., when it's still a ben yomo, that's for sure going to treif up that meat or milk. I mean, unless it's less than a 60, it's a treif spoon. What if?
Can you say
the You're saying if the next thing you put it into is parath. Interesting. Let's say it's 11 a.m. the next day. And you put it into meat or milk. What's the din? What? So, the shach says it's treif. You know, obviously, unless it's buffalo shisha. It makes your food treif. But the Bach, he's arguing on the Bach. What does the Bach say? The Bach says if you put it into...
The taste of the milk already ran out?
Exactly. The Bach says if you put it into milk, then it's treif. If you put it into meat, then it's kosher. Right? That's the machlokes between the Shach and the Bach. The Shach says, oh, the Bach is just an obvious mistake. Tosu. It's a machlokas. What's this machlokas? Right, so that's what the Shach says. What does the Shach say? It's forgotten. Yuri says, Mishas hatchiva filo inabas yom mishas shabish bachalo. If it's ben yomo from the sticking, even if it's not a ben yomo from the milk, it's a ben yomo, and it makes everything treif. As opposed to the Bach, who says, lehefech, the opposite. What's the logic of the Shach? What's the logic of the Bach? After all, at 11 a.m., what taste is fresh, what taste isn't? The milk is not, is pogum, but the meat is shevach. You can't. So what does the Shach say? The Shach's logic is that you have a tam l'shvach. What tam do you have l'shvach? Of basar, which is chana, right? That basar was chana, right? Basar b'chalav. So you have a tam l'shvach and chana basar, so it makes everything treif. I don't care what you put it in. You can put it in meat, milk, or vegetables. It'll make a treif. So you have a tam l'shvach of basar, which is chana. What does the Bach think? The Bach thinks that you have a tam l'shvach of basar. So it's not a tam l'shvach of basar. It's a tam l'shvach, as you pointed out, of basar b'chalav. Right? Of treif. He says you have a tam l'shvach of basar, but not of basar b'chalav. There is no chanan anymore. Once the chalav runs out, the chanan runs out. What's the basis of this machlokas? The Bach says, and this is a kol magal she'ein, really, it's leilach l'sham, yachol leilach l'sham. Right, the Bach says that the meat of Chanan is no worse than the milk that made Chanan. Right, this is a principle that we've seen by other things, but the question is, how far do you say this? By Bas V'Cholo. This is the machlokes we've seen earlier. How far do you say this by Bas V'Cholo? Do you say even by Bas V'Cholo that the Kol Makom V'Cholo can't go, the Basar can't answer? Kol Makom V'Basar can't go, the Cholo can't answer? Do you even go so far? So the Bach goes so far, he says, look, If the time of the cholov runs out, then the buser can't ask her anymore. Kol makom she'ein ha'cholov yachol meser, ein ha'buser yachol meser. He says it's only chanant where they can both go. Even if they can both go in a small amount. So the Bach says, once the cholov runs out, the chanan runs out. The Shach says no. Even though the cholov ran out, the chanan still remains. This fits with the
dissociative, right?
So it's a little unclear, because you could always differentiate the question of separation from the question of pagam, perhaps. That's what makes it a little tricky. So it's hard to equate. But the Shach is certainly the Shatasa, right? The Shach says, look, Chanan by Basim Chalav is not, you know, this the Shach sort of kind of thing, whatever. I'm basically serious. The Mamish turns into the Beila. If the meat turns into the Beila, I don't care if the Chalav became Pagam. The meat turned into the Beila. So this meat, until 3 p.m., there is an Beila meat in this meat. The Bach would at least correlate with, although it's always hard to tell one thing that totally about Baha, but the Bach would correlate with the Taz there, says no. Even Chanan and Basar B'Cholav, the Chanan only lasts while they're still both there. But if the Cholav disappears at 11 at 9 a.m., because it becomes Pagum, which is, it really is an additional step, becoming Pagum is disappearing, then the Chanan also disappears, and the meat is no longer in Avela.
Why is the spoon not fully discarded? If you had Shishin to make the spoon, why don't you say you didn't have that on the spoon?
Ah, that's the, Taz brings that up, and he says this is really what we discussed earlier, right? Why isn't every time you stick something into a pot it considered Haggadah? So the answer is because who said it had the rules of Haggadah? Who said it was boiling? Maybe it was just hot. Right? Which is the main concern we have here. In Echanami, if it really was in accordance with the rules of Haggadah, then in Echanami. That would go back to the Nodi Yuda and the Pesach Tshuva. So it's lo kol kach barur. It's lo kol kach barur. and that's exactly what the Taz quotes here from the Hagohos Shari Dura. So that's a very Yisoda stigma flow, because again, it comes up again and again. How far do we take Hanan? You know, to what extent do we say turn into Vela is Mamash turned into Nevela, or it just means turn into Nevela while they're together. But if one of them runs out, then maybe it's not turned into Nevela anymore. It's Machlokes in the Shach and the Bach here. If we continue a little in the Shulchan Aruch, the Ein Shishim, so let's just review for a second. The Shulchan Aruch says, Kol Zmanshi Bas Yoma, as long as Ben Yoma will trafe up anything, the Shach says, as long as Ben Yomo from sticking it in the chicken soup, it'll make whatever you put it in trade. Bach says, no, as long as it's Ben Yomo from the milk, it'll make anything trade. But if it's not Ben Yomo from the milk, it's only Ben Yomo from the meat, then it'll make milk trade. But it won't make meat or power trade. So the machlok is, what does the Shulchan Aruch mean by Ben Yomo? Ben Yomo from 9 a.m. or Ben Yomo from 3 p.m.? Now, the end of the Shulchan Aruch tells us, v'im ein shishim. What if there was not 60 times a spoon? What if the spoon was 1 ounce over here and the chicken soup was only 59 ounces? Then, not only is the spoon treif, the chicken soup is treif, and if the chicken soup is treif, the pot is treif. Hakol asur bandah. Everything is asur bandah because it's all bas b'chol, b'filo ha-kedera. Not only the spoon and the chicken soup, even the kedera. Even the kedera is asur bandah. Now this becomes a real question. What does it mean for the kedera to be asur bandah? Chicken soup becoming asur bandah, we know what that means. You have to pour it down the toilet. The spoon becoming asur bandah, well, that's the same as the kedera. What does it mean for the kedera to be asur bandah? What it means is, now this is a machlokas, this really depends on how you interpret sugya in Avodah Zarah, that's on the base, called the roots of Huma, al yidei davar acher. What if, you know, you're benefiting from the existence of an Isser, but only really from the thing that it's in, not from it itself. So it's a big machlokas to have a pasuk in there. We actually pasuk on the Isser, but machlokas whether that applies to the normal case or not. So the Shulchan Aruch is pasuk l'kula. Basically, the machlokas we showed there, Avodah Zarah, had to be pasuk. When we say the kedera becomes asur b'anah because it's full of asur b'cholim, is the kedera asur b'anah or only the blios are asur b'anah?
And the Mechaber seems to hold, or holds, only the Bli'as HaRasbano, not the Kedaver. That's what he says. When I say Kedaver's HaRasbano, I don't mean it literally. The Kedaver's not really HaRasbano. The Bli'as and the Kedaver HaRasbano, right? If I would cook vegetables in the Kedaver, the vegetables would become HaRasbano. But the Kedaver itself is mutter. So if I put cold things in there, or I put, now remember, in terms of putting cold things in, we have the whole thing of the Shach, you know, you don't want to do the Kedaver's and the Kuli Kuli. But at least, you know, in some Ba'arai, whatever, if I put cold cereal in there, or certainly if I put hard fruits in there, which the Bli'as don't come out of the, right, I put cold things there for less than 24 hours, or I put cold solid things there, so there's no Kedisha and there's no anything, then I'm not touching the Bli'as, just the actual Kedera. And the actual Kedera is not HaRasbano, so that's okay. As long as I'm not Nene from the Bli'as, it's okay for me to be Nene from the carrier from the Kedera. Now this is actually quite controversial, because not everyone agrees with that. The Shach quotes from the Or Zeruah, who seems to the Shach quotes from the Or Zeruah seems to disagree. Right, the Or Zeruah says no. Even the Kedera is usher. You know what? If I cook in this Kedera, even if it's not Ben Yomo, so I'm not Nenek Niyasar, but the Kedera is Asr. So if I cook from the Kedera, what do I have to do? I cook soup in this Kedera. I have to say how much it's worth to cook in a Kedera. It's worth a quarter to rent a Kedera to cook in it. So I have to throw a quarter into the Yamamelach to erase the Hana of this Kedera. And he's talking about the Hana of the pot itself, not the Bli'as. Right? Let's say the Bli'as are Kogma. I wait 25 hours to cook in this Kedera. The Bli'as are Kogma. I get no Hana of the Bli'as. The Ozeruah holds the Kedera itself. That's called Rotz of Kiyum Ali Dei Davar Acher. I am benefiting from the existence of these Bli'as and Basar B'Chalav through something else, just because there's existence of a Kedera. But this Kedera is also, since the carrier of the Basar B'Chalav, I can't even benefit Ali Dei Davar Acher from the Kedera. So there's a risk that if I accidentally do benefit from the Kedera, I need to even it out by throwing that money, flushing it down the toilet.
The food also, because you only have that food.
No, because if I then throw a quarter to the Yamamelach, I've erased that, and now I have the food because I paid a quarter rental. I didn't benefit from the pot, I paid rental. So I'm allowed to do that. So it's machlokes in the Or Zeruah. We don't pass like the Or Zeruah, the Ramah, the Mechaber obviously reject him. But the Or Zeruah holds the pot itself is Asur HaNa'ah. But we hold the pot itself is an Asur HaNa'ah, only the Bli'as are. So I can't use the Bli'as, but I can use the pot. And therefore, this is, you know, we had in that long Ramah, two simanim ago, but the Taz also mentions the idea that not only am I allowed to put cold things in this, I'm even allowed to cook in this pot or to put hot things in this pot if I'm putting shampoo and not food. The logic being that, as we mentioned above, that if I make food in this pot, then the taste of the basar b'chalav improves the food, so I'm getting on off the basar b'chalav. But taste basar b'chalav does not improve shampoo. That's a scientific fact. Shampoo does not benefit from basar b'chalav. It's not a shampoo ingredient. It's just junk in shampoo. Therefore, I'm allowed to make my shampoo in this Kedera because I'm not benefiting from the basar b'chalav. I'm only benefiting from the Kedera. And that's okay. And that's the halakha l'maisa that you can't cook food in this Kedera, but you can't use it in a cold fashion where the Bli'as won't come out. Or even if the Bli'as do come out, you can make shampoo in it, as long as it's not a food item, because you're not benefiting from the Bli'as coming out. It's just they're, you know, having absolutely no effect on anything. And then it's okay. Marshall here argued a little. Marshall here took a somewhat of an in-between approach. He says, well, you can't make water for shampoo, because water is ultimately a food. But you can make, you know, the soap part of the shampoo. Okay, but halacha l'maisa, we assume that as long as it's not in a food context, like the Taz quotes from Torah Status, as long as it's not in the food context, you're okay, because it's mutter to get hana'ah from the Kedera as long as you're not getting hana'ah from the Bli'as. At the very end, is a bit of a discussion. It's, I think, picked up by the Pesukei Teshuva here. What about the soup that's asur b'hana'ah? So I can't eat it. I can't even feed it to a dog, because that's hana'ah. So the Taz mentioned the end of cutting yud. Not only can't I feed it to my dog, I can't even feed it to someone else's dog or a stray dog. I can't feed it. If food is asur b'hana'ah, I can't feed it to any dog.
That's a big issue. It originates in Hilchos Pesach. Why can't I feed an Isra Na'ah to someone else's dog? Or is it really true that I can't feed an Isra Na'ah to someone else's dog? It's not locus in Epistate 2. Is it considered Hana'ah for me to feed it to a stray dog or not? Which is a very sort of interesting question of, is it Hana'ah for me to just do what I want to do, even though it doesn't benefit me? I want to feed the dog, but I don't benefit from it. Is it considered Hana'ah to accomplish a goal which is of no benefit to me? Is that considered Hana'ah? Right, so is that Hana'ah? Is it Hana'ah to just feel good that I wanted to feed the dog and I fed the dog? I did something that I wanted to do, but it doesn't actually benefit me. So is that Hana'ah? Is that the Taz seems to assume here that it is Hana'ah? I can't feed it to a stray dog, although others claim that no, only on Pesach can't give chametz to a stray dog. Because chametz is worse than a sort of Hana'ah. Right here, in the Pesach Chuvas of Katan Hay. It's where if you look at maybe the Encyclopedia Talmud is under Isuri Hana'ah or under Hana'ah, but you know, before Encyclopedia Talmud, the answer is no. You just have to put together little Pesach Chuvas here and there. Nowadays, okay, we live in a slightly different world. The Sif Dalid, also relatively straightforward, says this is all if it was Ben Yomo. What if it made a top Ben Yomo? What if you used a non Ben Yomo milk spoon to stir your chicken soup? If the milk spoon is not Ben Yomo, then it doesn't even make a difference whether or not you have shishim. Why? Because either way, you can't master your chicken soup in your pot, because it only gives a tam lufgam. And either way, in itself is usur, because now it has tam of meat and tam of milk. If a Ben Yomo would be maybe more usur, quote unquote. If it's ain't a Ben Yomo, it's a little less usur, but still, even if it ain't a Ben Yomo, the spoon is usur, because it has tam of milk and tam of meat. And therefore, you can't use it for meat and milk, and we recall it's a minhag, you can't use it even for parv. So either way, it's treif even for parv. The only difference is a Ben Yomo spoon would be the oraisa treif. This ain't a Ben Yomo spoon, maybe is only a midrabanan considered treif, and alpimina considered treif. But nonetheless, makes no difference. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says. An ina kaf Ben Yomo, if the kaf is not a Ben Yomo, then it makes no difference. Akdeir v'atav shel mutarim, the food and the pot is mutter. Either way, regardless. Because the spoon can only give it a tam of gam, which doesn't count. But a kaf also l'chachila bein basar bein chalav. And the kaf is also l'chachila whether with meat or milk, right? Because let's say it's a milchik kaf in chicken soup. It's also used for meat because it's a milchik spoon. It has a tam of milk. It's also used for milk because it has a tam of meat. And al pimina we don't even use it for parv. We call makom b'di'evet no seres kibush lo hisavas yoma. But since the kaf she'ena bin yomo, unlike the kaf bin yomo, a kaf that's not Ben Yomo, b'di'evet, will not make something else treif. So let's just review the exact case. If the spoon was used in the milk 9 a.m. yesterday, and I stick it into my chicken soup 10 a.m. today, then it doesn't matter whether there's shishim or not shishim, my chicken soup's okay, my pot is okay, and the spoon is treif. But b'di'evet, if I put spoon in meat or milk, it's okay because the tam of milk in it is already stale. Although, how do we have to modify that? B'di'evet, if I put my spoon in meat, it's okay. Obviously, if I put my spoon in milk, it's not okay because I just put it in chicken soup. So that's a the Shulchan Aruch is a little misleading, the mostly Caitlin point out, that b'di'evet, if I put it in meat, it's okay, because all it has is a meat taste. Right? The tam of milk is left on. So look, I can't put it in meat, because there ain't even no water menu. But right now, what is this spoon? If I could stop here, it is a spoon which is Ben Yomo Bisari, and Eino Ben Yomo Chalavi. So, therefore, if I put it into meat, b'di'evet, that's okay. But if I put it into milk, then b'di'evet, that's a problem, because I just put it in chicken soup. L'chachila, I can't put it into milk, because it's a Ben Yomo flation spoon. I can't put it into meat, because it ain't a Ben Yomo milking spoon. Theoretically, I could put it into parif, because it doesn't have any basar bichalav in it, because it was never made into basar bichalav, but I'll be mad. You can't put it into anything until you kosher it. Thank you. Now, see, if hay is very peculiar, I don't know if anyone noticed that. Let's get these very two strange, almost random-seeming dinim, which no one is actually sure where they come from. So let's see if we can tackle these a little. In bishlu mayim bikdeira chadosha, I have a new pot, and I cook water in it. The tochlu akat kol levis, and I put a milchik spoon in it. Now, theoretically, what should be the din? I have a new pot with water and a milchik spoon. What should be the status of this pot? What? Parah. Parah, because didn't you get a taste of milk?
Not bar
nah. Milk into spoon, spoon into water, water into pot. It's not bar nah. So it should be parah. So then I cook other water and I stick in a fleshik spoon. What should be the status of this pot? Still parah, because the meat it got is only not bar nah.
What
about, isn't it? No, because. No, there is no chalami tam in there. It was not bernat that teira of milk, because it was just milk and water, so it never became milchik, and now it never became fleshik, so it should be parav. Ushtei kapos hoyu ben yomo, as long as both spoons ben yomo, uvashomech me pam lohei my shishim, and there was never shishim can either kapos, two kapos that really gave taste, right? They're both ben yomo, they're both, not both of the shishim, they really gave taste. It's now a not bernat of meat and a not bernat of milk, which should be parav. Also, you're not allowed to use it for either meat or milk. You're only allowed to use it for par. You're not allowed to use it for meat or milk. Even though logically we would think it should still be mutter to use for everything, so Chanach says you can't use it for either meat or milk. Ramah says, me who am other bishmol basr cholov, mutter to having not par not. But the end, no matter what you cook in this pot, it's mutter because it's not par not. But the end, this pot is totally par, has no taste of anything. But for some reason, l'chachilo, we treat this pot as both fleshik and milk. And that's what you have to figure out. Why l'chachilo do we treat this pot as both fleshik and milk? Right?
So let's just review.
I mean, no need to review, but let's see if we can figure out. Bidi Evid, what's the status? It has a not bar not de teir of milk, so it's not milk. Then it gets a not bar not de teir of meat, it's not fleshing. So it should be fine. Should be totally. And Bidi Evid, it is totally fine. No matter what you cook in it, you're okay. But Lechachil, we say, this is a milk and fleshing pot, so you can't cook meat because it's milk, you can't cook milk because it's fleshing, all you can do cook is rice and vegetables. So why do we say that? Why Lechachila? We call this pot, we don't have some called a trace, but we call it milk inflation. What's the logic? Anyone? What's the logic of the machaber? True, although I would say it a little. Who are you quoting? Right now, what do you mean by it's not three? Sure, it is. What's the case? Milk to spoon. Spoon to water.
Water that's in the pot.
Water to pot. So you're saying this, no, this is all together. Okay, now hold on a second, but it's still not bernat, so isn't not bernat water? So what does it mean? So this is a Ramah later on, the Darkei Moshe here, gives a straightforward interpretation, which the Shach disagrees with, and the Taz in his Dacha Achron, who has an old-fashioned one? Do you have the Taz Dacha Achron in the margin? Something in the margin called Taz Dacha Achron? Okay, in the Dacha Achron, meaning in the back of the Taz, on the last page, so you probably have it in the back, we also have it in the back of the new ones. He went back and revisited the Sugya and also agreed with the Darkei Moshe. So the Darkei Moshe and the Taz in the Dacha Achron give what I think is the most logical explanation for this machaber. They say there's a machlokas from Shonen, there's a shita of the Rivan. The shita of the Rivan says that the heter of not bar not only applies to putting things down on trays, not to cooking.
If I take my fish and put it on a flagship tray, I mean, this is the whole, this is, I'm already summarizing this through half of the next sentence. What's the lush of the Gemara of Naparnat? I don't remember the language of the Gemara. Dogim sha'olu b'ka'ar shal basar. Right, so the dogim sha'olu, okay, dogim will put in the ka'ar shal basar. Then you have a heter of Naparnat. But if you mash, cook it. There's no heter of Naparnat here. Heter of Naparnat is just putting it in the tray. But if I take a half fish and put it on a flagship plate, that's called Naparnat. Meat to plate, plate to fish. That fish is still part of it. But if I cook fish in a flagship pot, that's a really strong taste. There's no heter of Naparnat. So there's no heter of Naparnat in this bashna. Basically, the Rivan holds the heter of Naparnat is only in very rare cases and hardly ever applies. Right? Okay, so the Rivan holds there's no heter of Naparnat in this bashna. So, the dark emotion and the Taz say, look, if you look at we Ashkenazim, we're the Paschim Simon Tzadikei. We lechatchila are chloshesh for the Rivan. Lechatchila, if you cook spaghetti in a fleshik pot, ben yomo, you can't put cheese on the spaghetti. Lechatchila are chloshesh, there's no heter in this bashel. But yeah, bad, it would be okay. Right, this is all the mice. Right, this, you know, if you cook spaghetti, rabbi, you cook spaghetti in a fleshik pot, the answer is you can't put cheese on it. If it was a ben yomo fleshy pot. But if you already put cheese on it, it's okay. Yeah. Machlokes, and some people's friends think yes, but the minig of the post that I've seen say no. Because we're koshish, there's no heter naparnat in this fashion, in bishop. Maybe the heter naparnat only when you put things on trays. Maybe it's a very limited heter and very unique, limited cases of putting something in a tray. Who says there's a heter if you actually cook? Never says the heter of naparnat in cooking. That's what the Rivan said. So what's the svara of the mechaber? Right, here we want to know the svara of the mechaber. The Darke Moshe. And the Taz in his daf. Ha'achrom say lechatchila machmirim binat barnat of nisbashlo. Okay, lechatchila we're machmir. There's no heter naparnat on this bishul. Okay, if there's no heter naparnat, then we understand this is a fleshy kli and it's a milchy kli. So therefore, lechatchila we're machmir to treat it as a fleshy kli and to treat it as a milk. We won't treat it as treif. That would be already treifing it up to the evet. But lechatchila will treat it as milk. We can treat it as fleshik. So say, okay, use this to cook parv. That is the hesber of the Darke Moshe and the Taz.
I have another question. Is the binyaka in this way, if you aren't putting cheese on it already?
If you already put the cheese on. If you already ate it, then
not really much of a shy.
No,
you don't have to toss your stuff. Yeah. No, binyaka means if you put the cheese on. Once you put the cheese on, you can eat it with gusto. Now, right, the evidence that's being to be true, but no, but here, once you put the cheese on, you can eat it. You need the evidence, you don't have to throw it out. Okay, now, that's one hesber. There are some other hesber. I mean, if you look at the Berhetev here, actually, he's stretched a little. He throws in, usually, just summarizes Shachan Taz. Here, he throws in his own parentheses someplace. The Berhetev in Sifkat and Yud Beis, those are these parentheses, says, V'hinei v'vadet yuv k'gdola hi ala beis Yosef v'amav, and early the Tzaretz of Rehim b'dochach, demayir shakakos ha'yibnei yomban, u'mistamach sha'yibnei yomban, mistamach sham nunis k'tsas dovuk olav. The Berhetev says, you know what? We're choshesh that if you have a ben yomo kaf, it was probably a dirty kaf. Okay, well, if it's a dirty calf, then we understand why you don't have a very good heter. Right? Because the first you stuck in a fleshik spoon and there was gravy on it which went straight into your pot. Then you stuck in a milchik spoon and there was, you know, milk on it that went straight into your pot. So okay, so that's why I understand why the chachila were matchmir and we consider this pot fleshik because you put meat in the pot. And we consider it milk because you put milk in the pot. Alright, that already sounds reasonable. Is that the bare hated?
Does it have different implications for general to assume that even you will as why would only assume that you're better than Yom Kippur.
So he says we don't. He quotes, "Kamosh Kazbasim inside the Hesiv Gibel, the Tzar Shayomar, Bari Lishlohayashim Shuma Dabakalav," that unless you're sure, you have to assume that things are dirty. Now, he's cheating because the case he quotes from Simon Sadiheh, Sif Gimel, is someone who washes dishes. So I understand when you wash dishes, you have to assume they're dirty unless you know otherwise. That doesn't prove that all kelim are dirty unless you think otherwise. We actually don't posken this way. We say he's wrong, but he thinks, with the general rule, all utensils, maybe, I don't know, he grew up. His mother was not very good at housekeeping, and he thought that all kelim, unless you're sure that they're clean, are mistama dirty. At least if they were used recently. All kelim ben yomo are mistam dirty. Okay, we don't agree with him, but that's what he's trying, and even he admits the stretch. Trying to, how can I explain this mechaber? Maybe, okay, we say that spoons were dirty.
If you stick a metal spoon into a pot full of boiling water and touch the wall of the pot, does the pot absorb that which is in the spoon?
Uh-huh. So that is actually the Taz brings that up in the Ramah here, right? And was it the Taz who brought it up? In Sivkat and Zion, he brings that up. Well, he wants to die. We'll get to it. We'll see. That's really a different deus in Tosfos on the sugya of Nach Barnat. The Taz takes a different approach. The Taz actually bases it on the Ramah here. Not the Taz of Daf Afra, but I guess the Taz in his Gilgul Rishon, which is, you know, his Perush here. The Taz says it's based on the Minhag Rambam later. What does the Minhag Rambam say later? He says that if you have a ben yomo spoon made a ben yomo pot or vice versa, the minhag is that we treat the food like the ben yomo and treif up the ein ben yomo. So he says, what do we say here? He says we have this minhag. He makes an expansive minhag. The minhag is that whenever you have a spoon and a pot, one of which gives ta'am, one of which doesn't, we treat the food like the one that gave ta'am. That's step one minhag. So A, the minhag is to treat the food you were cooking or the water you were cooking like the spoons. Right? So the first water would be, which is the first spoon? Fleishik. And the second water would be milk. And then, that's a minhag. Really, the water might be an opera. Not the minhag is, we treat the first water as milking and the second water as fleishik. Now, what's the next step? It says, if we treat the first water as milking, right? So he says it's looks bad to use the kedera for meat if it had milking food in it.
Because of the
Riman,
or
just the Tosfos? No, Al pi minhag. He doesn't say why. Al pi minhag, we treat the first dish as milchik. And then it's pasnish to use this the pot for meat after it looked. It didn't really have milchik. After it looked like it had milchik food in it. It's like a double minhag. A, we are admitting to treat the first food as milchik. Not only to treat the first food as milchik, but even, he really goes a step further, that's based on Ramah later, when you stuff the milchik spoon into the new pot and stir your vegetable soup, what kind of bowl would you eat that vegetable soup from? From a milchik bowl. So the minhag is, I realize we're running out of time here a little, but going even further, let's assume that the mayim is cooking with soup, right? So the first soup, you would say, the minhag to eat in a milchik bowl. And therefore, if you had soup that you davka put into a milchik bowl, and then someone saw that you cooked soup in a pot and you davka found the milchik bowl for it, and then you cooked meat in the same pot, it would look bad. How could you cook something which you davka put into a milchik bowl, which looks like it was milk, and then cook meat in the same pot? Therefore, it looks bad to use the pot for meat. And then, the second soup, there's the minhag to eat it in a Did I have the right order? No. The first soup. What? It doesn't make a difference. In a flation bowl. And therefore, it looks bad to use the pot for milk. Now, this is a whole mouthful, I understand, which is the top based on the Ramah in this set. But the Ramah is the Taz has this very complex idea that it's a two-step minhag. A, we have a minhag that when you put the milk spoon in, you have to now eat that soup in a milk bowl. When you put the flation spoon in, you have to eat that soup in a flation bowl. And B, it would look bad if I went, where's a milk bowl for the soup? And then I use that pot to put meat. That would look bad. And then I say, where's the flation bowl? Someone else here would say, where's the flation bowl for my soup? And then I cook milk in that same pot. That would look funny. Therefore, you can't cook meat or milk. So it would look funny to have gone searching for a flation bowl and then to cook milk in the same pot. What? And that's how he explains the Machaber. He thinks the Machaber and the Ramah are saying the exact same thing. The Taz does. The Taz does. Now, halacha l'maisa, which of these explanations which of these explanations does the Shach accept? The answer is none. Halacha l'maisa, we reject all of these. All the Achronim agree with the Shach. The Shach says they're all wrong. The Shach says that the Machaber misunderstood the Smach. Says, really, the Smach's maskana was not that way. Really, all these svaras are wrong. Why are all these svaras wrong? According to the Shach? So this is easy enough. Taz is easy enough to say why he's wrong. It's hard enough to understand why he's right. So I believe. It's also easy to understand why he's wrong. Stam kelim are clean. Who says stam kelim? You all of a sudden have to think or dirty. Why is the Darkei Moshe and the Taz Daf HaAchron wrong? So this is a little more complicated, because the Shach says that in what is classic Nisbashli? The Tom went from milk to spoon to water to fish. Classic Nisbashli is the question of the fish, dog, or eggs. Eggs is the actual case they were discussing. This is where we are machmir lechatchila and mekel b'dievet. But if you have milk to spoon to water to pot, that's mutter legamre. That's better than the classic dispatchu. Why? Because the transfer between a food and a kli is a weaker transfer than food to food. Therefore, since this is more mekel, it's mutter even lechatchila. So the Shach says, really, the Moshe and the Taz are the Daf HaAch. Oh, he didn't have the Taz Daf HaAch. Says, really, this explanation is wrong. Really, there is no such Shach for Hetiv, there is no such Shach for Taz, and there is not even a Shach for Nisbashlu because of the Shita of the Rivan, because this is more mekel than regular Nisbashlu. It's food, kli, which is weaker than food. And here's the kicker, he says, and I'll tell you how, at the very least, this can't be pshat of Machaber, because the Machaber isn't Machaber for Nisbashel at all. So you can't explain the Machaber this way no matter what, because the Svaridim are actually not Machaber and Nisbashel. So he says, it cannot be Nisbashel. Machaber has no such sheet as the Rivan, he ignores it entirely. And in any case, we're not Machaber, and although Chamaisa, we agree with the Shach, we're not even Machaber lechachila on food, kli. That's so weak that everyone's moved to that's okay, even the Chachim. So what does the Shach Paskin here? We'll have to continue with that. Bezrat Hashem Bezrat Hashem next time. Okay. Just briefly, Parshas Kedoshim. Davar Kol Das Me'Shalvi Artali and Kedoshim to you. Everyone has the obvious question. Why all of a sudden your Davar Kol Das Me'Shalvi Artali and Kedoshim to you? Rashi says famously, right, this Torah, this part of the Torah, never Hakam Fisha Rov Kufay Torah Tuluyim. But all the Achronim have a lot of trouble understanding Rashi. What does it mean, this was never Hakam? All the Torah was sent to all Kohen Yisrael. Right, you know, it's Rov Kufay Torah Tuluyim. But okay, you have to understand exactly what Rashi is trying to say. You understand the logic. If it has most of the mitzvah, the most important mitzvahs of the Torah are here, then it has to be said to everyone. It's a little hard to understand. All the Torah is said to everyone. It's all over Chazal. It says everyone needs to come and hear the Torah. So all the Achronim deal with that. But some people take a different direction now. She said maybe it's not the Rov Kufay Tuluyim, the Rov Kufay Torah Tuluyim, but maybe there's another reason why it's called Das Neisrael. Because what it's saying, that Barrel called Das Neisrael, Kedoshim Ti. Maybe there's something about Kedusha. the very nice Alshef, the Alshef says, look, mitzvahs, you know, if I say, don't steal. So everyone understands I shouldn't steal. Right? If I say, don't commit adultery, everyone understands I shouldn't commit adultery. Something wrong personally might, but they all understand that they shouldn't. Say kadoshim to you. To be kadosh, to really reach a madrega, to have spiritual ambition, to strive for something greater. Right? Kabbalah is what it means kadoshim to you. Right? So what does your average Baal Baskin say? When the Torah said, lo tiritzach, lo tigzol, that was talking to me. It says, make kiddush Shabbos. I make kiddush Shabbos. Kedusha, that's for the elite. That's for the yeshiva bracha, for the kol, brech, and kolel. A regular guy can't be kadosh. That's really too much to expect. The Alshem says, that's why he says, that we're kolel as Yisrael. Most of the time, kolel as Yisrael. It's not only for the elite, for the gedolei ador, for the, you know, the brech, and kolel, that they can be kedoshim to you. Every Jew, wherever he is, if he just works and puts in the requisite effort, whatever his whatever station in life he finds himself has the potential to be kadosh. Everyone has the pure hashis, and even though whatever excuses you might have and it might make it difficult, but everyone ultimately has the pure hashis that they can be kadoshim tiyum, be kind of a bond's idea of going with the mishur sadin and being mistama to Hashem, whatever their station in life. That's the alshas. Other interesting shatim. Also, if you want another, in the sefer Mor b'shemesh. I don't know what it is, but it's quoted by Rambam Leibowitz here, quotes another interesting pshat. Says, why is it called Das Nishon when I'm telling Kedoshim to you? Some people think, well, if you want to be Kadosh, you know, you got to separate yourself from everyone else, go off, live in a monastery someplace, be a hermit, you know, so that other people don't, like, influence you, etc. So, okay, maybe some people believe that, but not Jews. Torah says, I'll call it Das Nishon. The way to be Kadosh is to get together with other people and work on Kedusha together, like Kaplan Yucker says. The way to be Kaddish, not to separate yourself from other people's influences, but to work at positively influencing one another, and therefore be able to together reach a level of Kaddish.